That's taken us to 20 minutes past 10 o'clock, and you're listening to Classical WMUK 89.9 FM. At this point, I'd like to welcome to Classical WMUK a guest that I've been looking forward to talking to for some time, the new executive director of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. Jessica Mallow-Gully comes to us from the Jacksonville Symphony and was named the executive director late last December. And Jessica, I'm sorry it's been too long for me to get to know you, and I'm really glad to have you here this morning on the phone on WMUK. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Kara. It is a joy to finally get to connect and speak with one another. It has been quite a first 9 months here, hasn't it?
Everything changed in March. Things were moving along as they should. Musicians focused on music, administrators making great plans, and educators teaching lots and lots of kids. And wow, things just changed so much. I can't really imagine what it was like to be in your shoes at that time.
Well, it has definitely kept us on our toes. One exciting challenge after another, but everybody's been going through that in their own ways during this pandemic time. And especially for a symphony orchestra like we are, we are supported by our community, and we have continued to be welcomed and supported by our community during this time. Our mission is stronger than ever, even if the day-to-day work that we're doing looks a little different than it did just 6 months ago.
Well, first, would you take me back to pre-pandemic times and talk a little about you as someone whose passion for music and the arts grew out of, were you a young musician? Did you study to become a musician at some point?
I did, absolutely. I was an opera singer myself, but as a kid, I just begged for piano lessons from my parents. And at a point, they finally let me have the lessons that I wanted, and it was clear that this was something that just brought me so much joy. And they encouraged my studies the entire time. I picked up a clarinet, I picked up a viola, several instruments here and there. But when I found my voice when I was young in my teen years, I realized this was my instrument, and this was how I could bring joy to music all around me. And I studied professionally, studied classically, but at some point just after college, I would say accidentally found my first job working for Orchestra Iowa in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and I loved it so much. And I'll never forget this very first concert. Cedar Rapids had gone through a devastating flood in 2008, and the entire venue, the Paramount Theater there, was under 19 feet of water, and they had worked for years to rebuild this historic facility, and the first concert back at this venue was just after I started my position there, and showing up to a sold-out hall full of people, and Harry Connick Jr. on the stage, one of two concerts he agreed to do that year for that community there, and looking around, there wasn't a dry eye in the place, and I thought, we did this. We brought this here. And that moment has stayed with me forever. And realizing that I was so fulfilled in helping bring music to others, that was really going to be my mission from there on out. And since then, I've been working as an administrator. I haven't lost my voice. It's still in there. I just don't use it a whole lot for singing anymore.
Here in Kalamazoo, you often will get your arm twisted to perform if you have any willingness in that direction. So you never know, Jessica.
You never know.
I love that for you, the satisfaction, the applause was off stage, but still as meaningful for you behind the scenes?
Yeah, absolutely. Realizing how powerful music is, bringing joy to people's lives, bringing connection to communities, even within a community, the power that that can have. And there is so much purpose and mission there. And especially in a special place like Kalamazoo, I have seen this community above and beyond embrace the arts here, not just the symphony as we approach our 100th year of operating concerts in the community here, but all of the arts make this collective powerful presence in Kalamazoo. And it's been something that's really stood out to me since I've been here, but certainly all of the jobs I've had with various orchestras or performing arts institutions across the country, it sticks with you how much the work really means. And in a time like this, where it's often thought that arts perhaps are non-essential, and certainly in a different way than other jobs are essential, but realizing the power that we still have to bring people together when they may even need it the most, that's why we're really here.
You mentioned the strong support that Kalamazoo Symphony enjoys here in this town. By now, I'm sure you've met with many of the longtime supporters, the people who are truly invested in the symphony, even though they don't play in it. What are some of the things they're bringing up with you about the future of the symphony? What are their concerns?
Well, that's a really interesting question. And as a newcomer, those are some of the most important conversations that I get to have on a daily basis, is where are we going? You know, we've turned 100 just this year, or we're entering our 100th season and beyond. And where are we looking at being from here? But what I hear from folks the most often is that we have this incredible history of renowned artists, wonderful musicians, so many opportunities that the KSO has been on the forefront of history for 100 years of national challenges, disasters, powerful movements, just a collection of really wonderful firsts that the symphony has been able to bring to this community. And in recognizing that and also looking ahead, how do we challenge ourselves to now turn and grow with our community at this incredibly powerful moment? And I think what I hear the most from people is that they're looking for the KSO now to embrace our community alongside of everything that Kalamazoo is and has become over these last 100 years. We are here for it. We are ready to be a wonderful community partner. I think in many ways we have continued to be, and this is only something that will grow for us over the next few years. It's very important to listen to the people here and what they want for music, what they want for classical music, and find a way to have these incredible collaborations that build up everybody around us and bring more amazing art to everything we do in Kalamazoo.
Jessica, this rings true for a lot of institutions, including WMUK. You know, for a long time, it seemed like it was sort of expected or possible to operate in a "you come to us" kind of situation.
Right.
Today, it's different. It's worth explaining your worth often, and also sharing it with people who you might not have crossed paths with before. One way that to me is just a key building point with the Kalamazoo Symphony and other arts organizations is reaching young people. And I sure noticed that during the shutdown, the educators with the KSO really didn't quit. They kept going.
Right. It is such an important part of our institution. Our education programs are an absolute gem. What we have been able to do to bring music education to folks during this mostly digital time has been incredible. The team has worked tirelessly with resiliency and creativity to figure out how to quickly and almost overnight just pivot everything we were doing in person with live instruments in the hands of kids to how do we deliver this meaningful program to everybody in the best way that we can in a completely new environment. And we have been able to expand our reach, actually, and reach more students than we have been able to before, to have successful and wonderful summer camps through our Orchestra ROA and Kids in Tune program. We saw a really wonderful high level of engagement with folks throughout the summer. And to me, that just shows the meaning that it has for those who participate with us. And it is certainly our goal to continue to expand that footprint and reach. You know, when schools are looking at reducing the amount of specials that they can have in art and music, just because of everything that schools are having to go up against right now as well. How can we really rise to meet that need during this time? I think we have a special niche to be able to do it. We've got the wonderful talent, musicians, and staff that work on those programs. And we're going to rise to meet the need the best we can, because it is so important for kids to have access to music education and instruments and the collective community that being part of a Kalamazoo Symphony education program also provides, you know, that extra special connection and check-in and just service that we can be there for those families and kids.
It's one of the, you don't know what the effect is going to be when you put an instrument in a young person's hands. You just don't, and you might not for 10, 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's somehow one of the most effective ways to just create an affinity for acoustic music and playing it yourself.
That's absolutely true. And we've seen from so many studies now the effects that music and art can have on learning in the brain. And the more we know about it, the more important this work really becomes. And not only are we hoping to build the audience of tomorrow, right, but we're also opening up doors for creativity and learning in a whole new kind of way for a lot of students. And the more that we can reach, the more music we can put into people's hands at a young age, I think our entire industry of arts will only grow and blossom as these young people grow and blossom. And we know that arts are a collective driver of community. And so the more we can do to empower that at a young age, I think we will see the results of that, like you said, 10, 20 years down the road.
You sound like you've really gotten a handle on everything that the symphony is working for and has done in the past. But the learning curve must have been pretty steep for you. Jessica, wondering what it looked like when you were living in Jacksonville and seeing open positions with orchestras in the United States and considering applying. What about Kalamazoo called to you?
Well, so many things, really. That's a really interesting question, because I was not a native Floridian. As I mentioned, I grew up in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and I have a very Midwestern heart. My heart has always stayed here. I loved my time on the East Coast in D.C. and Jacksonville. But my family is also still here in the Midwest. And for me, looking at positions as they were opened, when I was approached about the possibility of coming here to Kalamazoo, the more I learned about this community and looked at the history of this orchestra and the important anniversary that was coming up, and the growth in the community over the years, there were so many things that immediately resonated to me. But it was really after I had my first phone call with folks here from Kalamazoo that I knew this was a place I really wanted to be. Kalamazoo, people here lead with warmth. They lead with kindness. They love and embrace diversity and creativity and just so many wonderful things that I saw immediately as an opportunity to grow and flourish this already historical arts institution. And I thought it would just be a really wonderful place for me and my now husband, Ben, mm-hmm. to come and make our home and hopefully grow with this community to make an impact over the next, who knows how long, decades, right? But it is really a special place. And it was immediately clear that that was true. And the more I learned and the more people that I met here, the more I found it was an opportunity that I really wanted to embrace. And I'm so glad that it has worked out the way that it has. Pandemic or no, we have absolutely loved our time here in this community. And even though we have not been able to explore as many restaurants or as many places as we hope we could have, just given the circumstances and the timing, I know we'll get to. And what we have been able to do so far has just blown us away with the kindness of the people here.
It was, yes, very, very inconvenient for me when I was reaching out to interview you last week and you went and decided to get married to Ben.
What a time to do it.
I understand your new husband is also a musician.
That's right. So Ben is an opera singer, but he is also all kinds of voice. He sings every kind of music that I've maybe ever encountered. He's so musical in many ways and traveled the country and the world singing in professional opera performances, producing music of all kinds, different places. And he's so happy also to be here and looking forward to a time when concerts come back. So he might be able to sing for all of us here in Kalamazoo.
Fantastic. It's music director Julian Quercy's job to decide on the music that the symphony performs. But I'd be curious to know who some of your favorite composers might be, some of your, you know, if you're looking back at your opera career, like what were some of the most beautiful pieces you ever performed that you still love to this day?
That's a really good question. You know, for me, the orchestral music I love and the opera music I used to sing, there are a lot of overlapping boundaries there. Some of my favorite orchestral composers, though, are Vaughan Williams. I love the way that Vaughan Williams uses folk melody to inform the most luscious orchestral music, and it's not played as often as I wish that it was. It is just some of my favorite music of all time, but also Beethoven. And how coincidental that this happened to be the 250th year where we were celebrating Beethoven around the country. And we heard so much wonderful Beethoven over the last 12 to 15 months. And there will be some incredible Beethoven coming up on the KSO season this year. So stay tuned for more of that. But just the way that Beethoven uses a collection of voices and instruments to bring power coming from, you know, a feeling of sadness or darkness. And it's always this motif of light overcoming that. And what a powerful message for where we are in the world, in the community right now with COVID-19 and other things that we are all working in the arts to overcome. But vocally, I always loved a little bit of the lighter side of Baroque music. That was my niche. The Handel and Rossini, Mozart, you know, them not so much Baroque, but that was my favorite thing to listen to going through graduate school, my favorite things to sing, just the beauty of the ornamentation and the way that voices and instruments played together was such a unique part of that period of history that it really spoke to me. And certainly, I do love more modern music as well. I know everything I've mentioned is not particularly modern, but that's a wish that I would have for all of us going forward, is to think about how we approach classical music or symphonic music that's really been written since 1950. I think it can often be scary for folks to think about that, and sometimes we put it in one bucket as just new, and new can be scary, but there's so many levels of how those periods of time and decades really played into how we listen to that music. So lots of exciting things there, and at some point, we'll get to even play some of that again, too.
I've always thought, I mean, the best way to hear new music is in person and with a committed orchestra. It's often the performance that convinces you that this is a voice worth hearing.
So, That's right.
One issue that you and other executive directors of orchestras are dealing with right now is really insurmountable at the moment. The state of Michigan has released executive orders limiting the number of people who can get together indoors. And our lovely venues, Miller Auditorium, Chenery Auditorium, they're all closed. And what are you doing to manage that challenge?
Yeah, it has been one contingency plan after the other, and it has certainly kept all of us on our toes. I used that word before, you know, resiliency. This is really, I'm so proud of the team because we have been resilient in our thinking, and Julian and Daniel and the team, we have had so many different kinds of contingency plans that we've had to think through for this very reason. It was unclear to us for some months now whether we would be able to use our original and beloved venues, the places that we operate the most frequently. But now that we know we may not be able to do that, there is something poetic in thinking about all of the places around Kalamazoo that we will now reach ourselves to be able to perform around the city, you know, bringing music to different parts of the city that we maybe haven't been able to play in several years in all kinds of formats. Some of them this fall, very small groups of musicians, chamber style music, a lot of it virtual since we want to keep audiences and our players as safe as possible, especially under the executive orders. And as we look into the springtime and thinking about where we will go and we can bring our masterworks back to the stage, finally, after so many months without being able to do that, looking at places that can host a larger orchestra is certainly a unique challenge. There are not that many places in our community that can do it, but we've got some amazing options that we are exploring, and we'll be ready to do it when the time comes, because we are committed to bringing music back safely, however we can do it. So, you know, that's really the answer, is contingency plans on plans on plans. And everybody has just been so wonderful in thinking outside of the box to try to make that happen. And it has been an unprecedented challenge for us, not just here in Kalamazoo, but orchestras everywhere, in really taking off the hats that we have gotten so used to wearing and challenging our business model, challenging our relevancy and how we can still deliver our mission and our music to everybody wherever we can do it, right?
I asked you before what longtime supporters of the KSO were talking to you about. What are the musicians of the Kalamazoo Symphony talking to you about? What are some of their concerns?
You know, the safety concerns are really everybody's number one thought at this point in time. You know, both organizationally and from our musicians' perspective, we want to keep everybody as safe as possible. And I'm so happy to say that we just have the most wonderful group of musicians and such a supportive board here at the KSO. And we've all been working together tirelessly all summer to communicate with one another about where our plans are going, to work together to draft safety plans for every venue we enter, and really rethinking together from the time somebody or a musician enters a facility, how we can make sure that their path is safe, that they have the space that they need, that the air is being circulated properly, every aspect of what we need to do in that space. And the musicians have supported this effort the entire time. And we share that collective goal. We absolutely want to bring safety to the forefront of the work that we're doing. But more than anything, we are all ready to bring music back. I think our players miss playing.
Yes.
Our musicians miss being with one another and having that shared space of playing music together. The videos that Julian has been able to work with our musicians to create have been nothing short of incredible. But what I hear most often from our musicians is that it is very different playing your instrument alone in your living room than it is on a stage with everybody else. And it is certainly our goal to get back to that as soon as we can.
I think he spoke for most of the musicians when I talked to concertmaster Jun Ching Lin. He said, "I am a social musician."
That's right.
Yeah.
They all share this perspective.
It's like you're casting a spell together. It takes everyone to do their part, and that's kind of the magic of making music. It's hard to put a finger. It's ineffable.
It really is.
But it's something that's hard to substitute. Yeah.
It really is. That's
I have kept
true.
You on the line for quite a while here, and I know that we'll be chatting again next week and sharing a few more details about the 100th season. Can you prepare our listeners for what we might hear next week, or where to look for information when it's released?
Absolutely. Well, we are so excited to finally be able to deliver an announcement of our season after planning and replanning with safety in mind for everybody. And this fall, we will be doing virtual music with the exception of a few things that will be outdoor. So the first thing that people may actually be able to attend in person, stay tuned for details on a performance at September 30th at the Overlander Band Shell. We're looking forward to bringing a group of our artists in residence there to perform outdoors. Hopefully the weather is nice and we can still do that at the end of the month. Other things this fall that we'll get to talk about next week that'll be delivered right to people's living rooms. And then, of course, starting our masterwork season in January, we'll have six full performances with incredible guest artists to help us ring in the 100th season of the KSO, and ending the season with Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, outdoors for the first time in several years. So looking forward to talking about all of that. Folks can go to the Kalamazoo Symphony website as soon as we have announced the official release to look for details and how they can join us.
Fantastic. I'm so looking forward to it. It's been wonderful to talk to you today. Jessica, I wanted to share a special performance by the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra with our listeners. It comes from the finale concert of the Gilmore Keyboard Festival 2018, May 12th in Chancery Auditorium. This is a wonderful piece by Felix Mendelssohn, Calm Sea and Prosperous Voyage. Here are the musicians of the KSO. Jessica, I look forward to talking to you again. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kara. Looking forward to next time.
Okay.